from scientific research of the astronomers. The great Milky Way stars. Beyond your comprehension and mine, but they estimate it very accurately as consisting of 18 million stars. Every one of those stars, they fully believe, weighs a million times more than our Earth. So great they are. Now look at the confidence of God. If you could take all those stars and place them adequately in some bag, it's possible. All of them, 18 million in number, God could take them and fling them away as a grain of sand in his might and his omnipotence. And may I insert, and perhaps properly, today the world is nearing, visited by the omnipotent, mighty hand of God in judgment. I commend to you only, read Revelation 14, read Revelation chapter 16, read Revelation chapter 19, and if your heart and mind will seriously ponder the words that are revealed, you'll tremble at the mighty hand of God that is coming upon this world. A day of his great wrath. And I say lovingly and earnestly, who recognizes the almighty, omnipotent hand of God and does not fear too many? But then again, to Moses God revealed himself in Exodus, rather, chapter 3 and verse 14, at the burning bush. And God said to Moses, I am that I am, meaning I am the self-existing one. I had no beginning. I have no ending. I am an eternal being. And as Deuteronomy tells us through the hand of Moses on another occasion, he raises his hand in the starry universe of the world completely that he's made, and says these words, I live forever. My God, my friends, God is an eternal being. He had no beginning. Think it through. You had a beginning. I had a beginning. Mankind had a beginning. But please remember, we don't have an ending either. But we had a beginning. Not God. No beginning. And may I give you this thought? The eternality of his being needs to be recognized, considered, meditated upon. Chapter 90 of the Psalms, verse 2, even Moses wrote that psalm saying, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. He was, he is, he ever will be. Can I ask a question? Do I ever consider properly the eternal existence of God? Then to Israel in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, God revealed himself in another way. By the name of Jehovah, in order to deliver Israel out of Egypt. A name regarding his redemptive power, which he manifested to bring them out of the deliverance of Egypt long ago. Take those names. Many names, compound names are used of Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rofika, Jehovah Nissi, and also Jehovah Shalom, and Jehovah Sikenu, and Jehovah Jah. Many compound names. The Old Testament saints knew them. And God revealed it. Many other ways did he reveal himself. But may I suggest, think of those three. the Almighty God, the eternal, self-existing God. And then Jehovah, the name which he was known to his earthly people, and shall yet be known, for the word means Savior. But may I be very careful to say, in regard to our subject this morning, God our Father, God never revealed himself to any Old Testament saint in that way. Now let me prove it, please. It was an impossibility, as well as an improbability, for God to reveal himself in that intimate relationship as being to any of his saints, his children, a father. Now, may I also be careful to add, 5 to 6 times, no more than that, you'll find the name Father mentioned in relation to God in the Old Testament, but only as the source of life. Not in relationship, but as the source of life. And he could not, and he was not made known as Father until the Lord Jesus came to the earth. Turn with me in your Bible, if you have one with you, Matthew 11 and verse 27. No more definite proof can be given as you read the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 27. And I would read them very carefully and emphasize them emphatically. These things that the Lord Jesus says, Matthew 11, 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son. Take that in carefully. And let me humbly but very faithfully say, there isn't a human person, no matter how long they may have been redeemed and who they may be, fully knows the Son and all that he is but the Father. But then note what the Lord goes on to add. Neither knoweth any man the Father. Take that in. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Until the Son of God came into the world, God was not known as Father in that blessed intimate relationship. Now we have read the words from John chapter 1, verse 14, verse 18. They plainly declare the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, alone could reveal the Father. As in John 1:14, let me quote it quickly. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, writes John. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Note the expression, who he is, the only begotten of the Father. And may I please emphasize, it does not indicate that he had a beginning, but unoriginated, uncreated, dwelling in the bosom of the Father. Let me quote verse 18 of the same chapter. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is, and emphasize that verb in its present tense, it's an eternal is, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. My beloved, please may I say again, humbly but faithfully, not until the Son of God came into this world could God be made known as Father in intimate relationship. Now let me bow with you in heart, I hope, that you and I are blessed to be in a period of time that is true. I don't know how many of you, I hope all of you can call him your father. By relationship, through redemption by the Lord Jesus' precious blood. But let me repeat, the greatness of the fact, far greater, that he's the omnipotent one, the eternal one, and the Jehovah of Israel, the Father of all who believe on the Lord Jesus. May I go further to state, let me go with you to the scripture. On three occasions, the Lord Jesus made the statement of revealing the Father. First of all, if I may go with you, please, to find what he has to say. In these words of John, you find them first of all in John 8, the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, and you find the Lord Jesus, strange you may think it. He speaks to the Pharisees. He speaks to the Pharisees, the ones who were rejecting him. Verse 19. Let me begin verse 18. Read it together. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. Please let me say, the Lord Jesus was speaking to those who were rejecting him and challenged him, where is thy Father, as he spoke of coming from heaven? And he declares unto them, my Father sent me. And if you knew me, you'd know him. May I add, if you're not saved, if you get to know the Lord Jesus, you'll know his Father. But not without that. But then may I go with you to another scripture too. John 14 and verse 7. John 14 and verse 7. To his disciples, he said a similar statement, a declaration that they knew the Father because they knew him. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Thomas had just said to him, Lord, show us the way. Show us the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said, if you'd known me, you'd know my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and see him. He declares, I came from my Father to reveal him. Then take one more scripture, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 17. The words of the Lord Jesus at the end of his prayer in verse 26. Chapter 17 and verse 26, the last verse in the chapter. The opening words, now he's praying to the Father in view of his finished work. And notice what he says, I have declared unto them thy name. Will you go back to verse 25 and note how he introduces the name of the Father? O righteous Father, I have declared unto my disciples thy name, and I will declare it. My beloved, let me pause for just a moment to realize the greatness of the fact. No matter how many revelations of God you may find in the Old Testament, the greatest revelation of all is when the Son comes to the earth to reveal him as Father. Very important. May I add carefully, the greatest symbol of Christianity is this expression, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. You cannot dissociate the Father from the Son and the Son from the Father. If I may put it in this particular vernacular, and the Word of God emphasizes it, they are two in one. They are two in one. Read John chapter 10, on which occasion the Lord said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, they shall never perish. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Neither shall any pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and what? I and my Father are one. My beloved, let me repeat again. Too many Christians fail to realize it. Christianity is not associated only with the person of Christ, but it associates the one who believes with the person of the God the Father himself. The Father. I remember years ago, I would say way back 1920 about, following the close of an open air meeting, a young man with a little child was standing listening, and afterward came to me and said, "I'd like to talk to you about what you've been preaching." He said, "I'm a socialist." Now today he would say, "I'm a communist," but back then he said, "I'm a socialist." So I went to his home. I did my best sitting at his kitchen table, taking my Bible. He was completely, in fact, he was atheistic, not believing there was a God. And I want to tell you, it's not easy to talk to an atheist who's absolutely shunning out any knowledge of God. But I never will forget when I made a statement to him, "I know God is my Father." That man sat right back in his chair, reeled back. "What? Your Father?" He couldn't believe it. He couldn't understand. Well, of course he couldn't understand it. But my beloved, please let me say, it's a grand thing to be able to say, "My Father." I think of the words of the Lord Jesus at the end of John's Gospel, following his death, burial, and resurrection. And his message he gave to Mary, "Go to my brethren, tell them I ascend," where? "To my Father and your Father." To my God and your God. Let me confess. Please, my fellow believer, take it in. It was the greatest joy of the Lord's heart to now to be able to say, "My Father is your Father," to his disciples. Do you appreciate it? Do I? One well wrote many years ago in the past century, "The most noblest understanding is to know God, the mighty being God, as far as he may be able to be known. It is indeed the greatest objective of any noble desire of human understanding." My beloved, let me reemphasize the great responsibility as well as privilege of intimately knowing God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we come to the question. We come to the question properly. This mighty God is Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did the Lord Jesus reveal him? How did the Lord Jesus reveal him? Let me go with you to these words that we find in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And may I add, please, I hope those of you that may have read and studied the Gospel of John may well have noticed that throughout the whole Gospel of John, if I recall correctly, studying it, counting it, about 119, 120 times, the Father is mentioned. It predominates, as you have at the beginning. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let me repeat again. No one but the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, did declare and reveal the Father. And he came to do that. Let me add again, in contrast to the great revelations of the Old Testament. And may I say, please may I say it, all the Old Testament saints, they enjoyed what they knew about God. But none of them could say, "Our Father, who art in heaven. My fellow believer, listen. Do you appreciate it? Do I appreciate it? And if you might be an unbeliever, you need to know it. But how do he reveal himself? Look with me in John 14, and I want to read from verses 10 and 11. And note these words of the Lord Jesus. And I go to verse 9, where Philip had challenged the Lord Jesus, saying, "Show us the Father." And verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" As I read those words, I think of an incident that took place at a conference as I was seated at a table dining with some Christian friends. One of the Christian ladies said to me, "Shall we see God someday? Shall we see Him?" Well, look what the Lord Jesus said to Philip. "Philip, have I been so long time with you, and sayest thou to me, show us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Could it be possible? Can you and I see, not with our literal eyes, but surely by the eyes of faith, the glories of the Father, the excellent glory of the revelation of the Father to the soul through the Lord Jesus? Now let's read verses 10 and 11. Tells you how he did it. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" There again, let me say, two in one. I'm in the Father in me. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of or from myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the work." Emphasize two words whereby he revealed the Father. By his words, by his works. Let me pause and emphasize it again. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed the Father by his words and by his works. And may I add, no person can ever reveal himself or herself any other way either, but by his or her words and their works. And the Lord Jesus says, "By my words that I have spoken, the Father is revealed. By the works that I have done, the Father is revealed." Let me read verse 11 with you. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Oh, the joy of knowing the twofold channel whereby the Lord Jesus has revealed his Father to mankind. And to these disciples who had come to know him intimately, he declares that it was all done by his words, and it was done by his works. Turn with me to John chapter 8, please. I want you to note the tremendous truth in John chapter 8, reading verse 28 as well as verse 38. Words that the Lord Jesus even spoke to his enemies. In John chapter 8, reading at verse 28, the Lord Jesus is saying, and let us notice, "Then said Jesus unto them," now please let me say, he is not speaking to his disciples here. He's speaking to unsaved, rejecting Pharisees. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do," now know, "that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Can I put it in this phraseology? Every word that the Lord Jesus spoke, the Father taught him to say it. Let me go back in memory with you. Have you ever dwelt upon the astonishing statement in Luke chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus, as a boy, 12 years of age, was taken by his supposed father and his mother Mary to Jerusalem to worship, and tarried for 3 days after the feast was over, and his father and mother, Joseph and Mary, had to go looking for him? And do you remember when Mary rebuked him and saying, "Son, why hast thou so treated us? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And that boy of 12 said, "Wist ye not? Did you know that I must be about my father's business?" What was the father's business? Did he not come into the world to do the will of God his father? And as a boy of 12, he knew it. And in the knowledge of the scriptures, in his upbringing at Nazareth, he knew the word. And he reasoned and talked with the scribes in the temple on that occasion. They marveled at his wisdom and knowledge. But he was occupied with the Father's business. Now we have nothing between his boyhood and his manhood as to what transpired during his life. But may I say this? Let's believe it. As the Father taught him, he spoke. Go to verse 38 in the same chapter, please. Now know what he says. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." Let me stop there. He refers to the father of the devil that belonged to them, who was their father. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." My beloved, can I say humbly but faithfully, the Lord Jesus never spoke words unless it was by the Father's command. And then his works. Similarly, go to chapter 5 and verse 19 and verse 30, where even once again, his works were done by the Father's power. Chapter 5 and verse 19, first of all, and again he's speaking to his enemies. In verse 17, he tells them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." But now go to verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Every work that he did was according to the Father's will. Go with me to verse 30 down in this same chapter. Verse 30. Please note these words. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." May I pause worshipfully to recognize, in and during the life of the Son of God upon the earth, from boyhood to manhood through to the death of the cross, by his words and by his works, they were all in the control of the Father and according to the Father's will. Now let me give you one illustration, a strange illustration. John chapter 11, you may remember in John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus got a message. He wasn't in Judea. He was away at that time because of the enmity of the Jews against him, threatening to kill him. But the message came from Bethany that Lazarus was sick. "He whom thou lovest is sick." And the two sisters, Mary and Martha, expected that the Lord Jesus would come and heal him. He did not. He tarried 2 days. Why did he tarry 2 days? He would not go until the Father sent him. And knowing that he would glorify the Father in a greater way, he tarried 2 days and Lazarus died. But let me give you that as an illustration. His subjection to the Father's will. In every word that he spoke. In every deed that he performed. Don't you wish you could do that? That's how he revealed the Father. In submission to the Father's will. I suggest to you, my beloved fellow believer, and to myself, how it would be helpful to take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, go through those Gospels and listen to the words of the Son of God that came from the Father every time he spoke. See the Son of God in every act that he performed according to the Father's will. What an example. But let me repeat the premise. All these things reveal the Father. The character of the Father. The character of the Father's heart. The greatness of the Father's heart. But then, not only through his ministry, but greatest of all, we have to confess it was at his death. The complete revelation of the Father's heart was declared at his death. Go to John chapter 10, please, will you? John chapter 10, if you have your Bible, let me read verse 17 and 18. I want you to recognize how he could say these words even before he went to the cross. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Stop for a moment. Here is a statement that tells us how he declares the love of the Father. My Father loves me. Why? Because I laid down my life. And you know he laid it down for you. He laid it down for me. And read on in verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power or authority to lay it down. I have power and authority to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. By my words and by my works, I reveal the Father, but completing the revelation of his love is when I lay down my life. I have heard men say, to my regret, that God was angry when his son died. God was not angry. Don't you ever tell me that. I know the Savior in agony cried out of deep experience beyond understanding, my God, he didn't say my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Well, in fact, if you want to know how much the Lord, how much the Father loved him, herein is love, writes John in 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be what? The propitiation for our sin. And my beloved, may I say humbly, but faithfully, the greatest expression of that mighty love of the Father's heart was the death of the Son on Calvary. You may have read the story of Abraham and Isaac. The greatest expression of Abraham's devotion and love for God was manifested when he volunteered to offer up Isaac, from which God spared him. But God spared not his only son, but gave him up for us all. And what words could greater describe the greatness of that Father's heart than when the Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go with me to John 14 again, that great chapter, again, in John chapter 14. I want you to indeed recognize the full revelation of the Father's... Please, can I say again, look! The Old Testament saints, they never saw the cross. They never saw the Son. All they could do was, as God declared, bring a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, which never gratified and satisfied the claims of God in respect to the question of sin. But when the Son came into the world, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Then was expressed the fullness of God's love. By his death upon the cross. But I want you to notice three things particularly that the Lord Jesus says to the believer. In John chapter 14, talking to his disciples, Thomas says unto him, Lord, in verse 5, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And in verse 6, please know, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My beloved fellow believer, can I say it humbly but gladly? You and I have come to the Father. Please, can I say, we haven't come to the Almighty God merely. We haven't come to the one who's the Eternal One merely and only. In fact, I'd be afraid of the omnipotence of God. It would strike fear to my heart if that's all I could know of Him, as well as His eternality. But oh, I've come through the Lord Jesus to God my Father. Do you appreciate your earthly father? Should not we appreciate this one who is our Father in heaven? Jesus says, you've come to him. Not only have you come to him, go if you will, go to the next verse, 7 and verse 9. If he had known me, you should have known my Father also. I know what Jesus said. From henceforth, you know him. Go to verse 9. And in verse 9 he tells them to Philip, You've known me, Philip. You've known me. And may I give you the thought? The word known means progressively. You've been learning about me. You've been learning about me. You've come to me. You've come to the Father. And now you know the Father. My beloved, please let me say again, it's the greatest joy that thrills my soul. I can call God my Father. One of the great joys of the 23rd Psalm is that little word, my, in the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you can't say he's my Savior, he's not your Savior. Yeah, not same. But the joy of that word, possessing him, is my Savior. And I can say of God, my Father. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. You come to him and you know him. And what the word means here, Philip, Thomas, you've been with me. And while you've been with me, you've been learning of my Father. And then last of all, third, he says, as you got it in verse 9, have I been so long time with you, Philip, that thou dost not know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Can I again repeat? The more you know of Christ, the more you'll know of the Father. The less you know of Christ, even in experience, the less you'll know of the Father. And if you don't know Christ at all, you don't even know his Father. He's the only way to the Father. But what a joy to recognize this wonderful truth. Go with me to the, in the same chapter 14. Let me read through verse 12 through 14 quickly before closing. And I want you to, may I put it this way? Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've come to the Father. You know the Father. You've seen the Father. Now in verse 12 and 14 he says, keep coming. Keep knowing him. Keep seeing him. Let me read the words. And whatsoever, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now there you have words telling simply that the Lord Jesus knew he was going back to the Father. And because I go back to my Father, you're going to do greater works than I've done. Can I just dwell for just a moment? Nearly 2,000 years have gone by. More work has been done for the Savior's glory and the Father's honor in this world than the Savior did when he was on the earth. Millions have been saved. Greater works have been done. And the Lord Jesus is saying, please keep coming to the Father. Ask. Pray to him. Seek his face. Ask in my...